You found the right frequency. It's gentle on my mind, an easy listening experience.
Remain in the rhythm of the newborn day. You know, sometime you're bound to leave her, but for now you're gonna stay in the year of the cat. Year of the cat.
Al Stewart, Time Passages. Welcome to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience on the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. We're going to do a set called Sunshine Days.
Thank you. small cafe I met her, when she turned and smiled at me, I knew I had to stay. As the time went by and the winter sky grew darker, it was hard to leave her there when I heard her say,
an occasional feature here on Gentle on My Mind, the Sunshine Days set. That was a band called Crazy Paving, released back in 1970, a tune called Anytime Sunshine, and before that, a tune that we all know and love.
Exploring Science and the Sea. When you walk on a tattered carpet or a stained-up rug, you don't usually worry about it lunging up and biting you. Unless, that is, you happen to be walking through shallow coastal waters around Indonesia or parts of Australia. In those areas, the carpet just might give you a nasty shock. These carpets are sharks, known as wobbegongs. They have wide, flat bodies. Most of them are colored in shades of brown, speckled with white spots or circles. And they have tassels around their heads. In fact, that's where they got their name. Wobbegong is an Aboriginal word that means shaggy beard. The sharks spend much of their time flattened against the seafloor, a perfect carpet-like disguise. There are about a dozen species of wobbegongs. Most of them grow up to a few feet in length. The biggest species tops out at about 9 feet. Perhaps the most elaborate-looking species is the tasseled wobbegong. The appendages around its head are especially complex. They have multiple branches, so they look like small trees. Wobbegongs eat bottom dwellers, lobsters, crabs, some fish, and even other sharks, including their own kind. Females incubate their eggs inside their own bodies, then give birth to about 20 pups at a time. When they're born, the kiddos are hungry. They sometimes eat unhatched eggs, or their hatched brothers and sisters. The newborns then tend to scatter quickly, in part so they don't get eaten by mom, allowing them to carpet new patches of the ocean floor. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
This is Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. Tune in, turn on to the Mighty Mellow.
Thank you.
Dave Pell with Holiday for Strings. Before that, the Gary Pacific Orchestra and Soft Wind. We started that set off with Robin Jones and his quintet, and a tune called Liftoff. This is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're listening to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. And to help us connect with quiet moments and the natural world, occasionally we will be hearing episodes from Laura Erickson's For the Birds. Here's Laura Erickson.
Just about every child wonders at some point how other species and even other humans perceive colors. Do a blue sky and white clouds look the same to everyone who isn't colorblind? Sure, we humans all have pretty much the same eye structure, but in the same way that a joke could be hilarious to one person but fall flat to an identical twin, maybe colors look different to different people too. I was pretty sure I had a good handle on color. I've always been able to appreciate the different shades of red in a scarlet tanager, northern cardinal, and ruby-throated hummingbird, and I love the lovely tropical green of a chestnut-sided warbler in autumn and the subtle shades of pinks and purples in a common grackle in full sunlight. But now that I've had one of my cataracts removed, I'm discovering that the colors I see are different through that eye with its crystal clear lens than through the eye still obscured with the cataract. I'll be getting the second eye done on Wednesday, but during this interim period, I can actually use the magic of Photoshop to make two copies of the same photo and use a color slider to show how the eye with the cataract sees the same thing. Meanwhile, last week the British Ecological Society published a paper in Methods in Ecology and Evolution titled Quantitative Color Pattern Analysis, a comprehensive framework for the analysis of color patterns in nature. We humans and many primates are trichromatic, meaning we have three kinds of cones in our retinas, sensitive to red, blue, and green hues. Most mammals, including dogs and cats, are dichromatic, with just blue and green sensing cones in their eyes. Arctic reindeer have a special cone that detects the UV light that lichen emit. Bees are trichromatic but also pick up UV light. Many insects, fish, reptiles, and birds have four kinds of cones, and the mantis shrimp can have up to 16 kinds. Color perception is important for such essential tasks as detecting prey animals and vegetation types, noticing predators, and signaling their own kind for competitive, mating, or flocking purposes. To better understand the function of color signals in nature, the researchers developed quantitative analytic frameworks to estimate how animal and plant color patterns appear against natural backgrounds as viewed by ecologically relevant species. The program they developed takes a photo of how we see something and adds brilliant colors to the areas outside our own visual spectrum. Of course, they're restricted to using colors within the wavelengths we can see, so it's just a visual representation to help our understanding, not at all the way animals actually see the world. Our imaginations really are limited to the colors within our own spectrum. The photos they produced are brilliantly wonderful, but the popular press picking up those photos are saying, quote, "This is how birds see the world," and, quote, "This software shows you exactly how different animals view the world," when it isn't. We have no idea what colors look like outside our own visual range. So although this wonderful work is important and cool, it simply does not show how birds see the world. Until we humans can evolve retinas with more kinds of cone cells, the colors birds and other animals see will ever remain a mystery to us mere humans. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
Welcome back to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, and it is time for the Mancini Moment. Henry Mancini with Just for Tonight. And in the same vein, it's time to trip the light fantastic. Music with Enoch Light.
Thank you. Exploring Science in the Sea. Biologists have been sampling life in the Gulf of Mexico for decades, yet they're a long way from getting acquainted with everything that lives there. Consider a tiny shark that was discovered there a decade ago. When researchers pulled it from the water, they didn't recognize it. It took them until 2019 to classify it. It turns out the shark is a member of a species never seen before. Scientists grabbed the shark during a research cruise in the Central Gulf in 2010. They were studying the feeding habits of sperm whales. As part of that project, they trawled for fish and other organisms in the water. They preserved the unusual shark, which is only about 6 inches long, for a few years. Then they studied it through photographs, CT scans, and X-rays at a facility in Europe that produces exceptionally strong beams of energy. They decided that it's a type of pocket shark. Only one other pocket shark had ever been captured, off the coast of Peru in 1979. They're named for a pocket-like gland near their front fins. The gland appears to contain a luminescent fluid. It supplies the fluid to light-emitting patches on the shark's body. The Gulf of Mexico fish was a different species, though. It has fewer vertebrae and different teeth, and it has light-emitting patches across its belly and other parts of its body. The ones on the belly may make it tough to spot from below, and the others may attract prey. But there's still a lot to learn about this newfound shark from the Gulf of Mexico. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas and is available as a weekly podcast at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
Tune in and turn on to the Easy Tempo with Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm the Mighty Mellow, DJ Fred. Thank you. Mark Mothersbaugh, yes, of Devo fame, with the Sonata for Cello and Piano, from the soundtrack to the Wes Anderson film The Royal Tenenbaums. Great digging for easy sounds for the now generation. It's the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, and Gentle on My Mind.
Wow. She's faced the hardest times you could imagine, and many times her eyes fought back the tears. And when her youthful world was about to fall in, each time her slender shoulders bore the weight of all sorrow no one hears, still rings in midnight silence in her ears. Let her cry. But if allowed just one possession, I would pick her from the garden to be mine. She knows. And when you walk into her eyes, you won't believe the way she's always paying for a debt she never owes. And a silent wind still blows that only she can hear, and so she
Skylark with Wildflower. And that, dear friends, is our show for today. Each and every episode of Gentle on My Mind is archived at radioforall.net. That's radioforall.net. Remember, be gentle with yourself, be gentle of spirit, and be gentle on your mind. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, wishing you many blessings.
Behind your couch, and it's known I'm not Wonderland.